Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we revisit a very popular topic from the past where we discuss polarizing opinions or ideas and get a little controversial. So let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me this week is Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
And Troy Heinrichs.
What's up, homie?
And John Davenport will not be here this week. He took the week off because he was so offended from last week, right? He can't handle controversy.
I guess. Or he just ran out of love last week. I don't know.
Start talking about pegging. The guy gets very upset that we're bringing up his personal lifestyle and doesn't want to come back. I get it.
Touche.
Oh, so, Amanda, you weren't here last week when we talked about love, family love,
good.
Friends.
Good.
Jesus. All right.
We just got done with our John and his, like, Eeyore stage. Now we've got to move into Amanda's Eeyore stage. Okay.
She was very positive.
It's not an Eeyore stage. It's just, I don't need to be involved in that. All right. I can take a year.
Hey, being in love with yourself is also love.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're on sabbatical for love. That's just where I'm at. So we're taking the year off, okay?
I think that's not a bad place to be. More people should do that. Take a year off love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still love myself. I love me a lot. I spend lots of money on me.
Jesus. I thought
myself. I do. I'm going traveling. I got all these trips planned. That is self-care, my guy.
All right, my gal.
Sounds like she's planning time away from the show.
Anymore? Like, how much more can you play it away from the show? Is it even a vacation anymore?
All right. Hold on. Let's back up.
Isn't it like part-time?
It's 2024. It's a new year, and I'm a new me, okay? I've been, like, three times more consistent this year than I was all of last year.
Combined. She's been here quite a bit so far.
If you start in a car with no tires, and then suddenly you have one tire.
Why do you get a car with no tires?
I don't know.
Feels like a bad decision.
It's a great question.
Well, this also sounds like a math problem. Like if I'm going from Chicago to at 55 miles an hour.
Then you take a train and you go through the expressway and then there's a left turn.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Let's get controversial. That's the whole episode. That's it. We're just getting controversial. That's all we're going to do. So what we're going to do is each one of us, we're going to go round robin, stating opinions that we think are, you know, controversial. So controversial opinions in entertainment, whatever they are, and we're going to discuss them, basically discuss the what makes them controversial. Are they really controversial? Or are we just like being whiny about it? And keep in mind, if no one's ever heard of your idea, it's probably not that controversial, right? Probably not. Some examples would be Beverly Hills Cop 3 is the best of the Beverly Hills Cop movies. If you really believe that, that's worth talking about because you're probably legally insane. Tom Hanks is actually an awful actor. What? That's not real.
Excuse me?
Right? Exactly.
Back up.
Now we fight.
Back up immediately.
They confused with Hanks and Cruz.
The Game of Thrones series ending was magnificent. Yeah. Maybe it was. We don't know. We'll talk about it. Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about. All right, Troy, how about you? Let's take your first one. What's controversial? What do you got? Let's talk about this.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Take away Heath Ledger.
Okay.
The Dark Knight trilogy is actually Christopher Nolan's worst films on record.
Oh my God. I will fight you right here, right now.
Hang on. Two things.
Worst movies?
Worst Nolan movies.
So you're saying
movies.
They're bad?
I think they're Nolan's worst work. I don't think that they're actually enjoyable. You take out Heath Ledger. That whole trilogy just does not work as Batman to me.
What?
Oh my God. What? I'm not okay.
Okay.
I'm
again, two things. Life took out Heath Ledger. I have no control over that.
Dear God.
Two.
Can't say that. It's been like 20 years and you still can't say that.
Two. I don't even understand. Yeah, that's controversial because it's insane. I don't understand that logic. Like the first Batman Begins is a fantastic movie on its own. And there's no Heath Ledger.
I disagree. There's actually a whole Reddit thread on it, too.
About oh, well, if Reddit said it, it's got to be right.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's controversial. Will you talk about it? I found the first movie, especially Katie Holmes' performance, to be absolutely abysmal and boring. Sandman, whatever. And
okay, it's that Sandman.
It's whatever Scarecrow. His name is. Scarecrow. I don't care. Jesus. See, you don't even know what the
wrong franchise.
It's like it just was like it was not fun compared to the Michael Keaton, and even the Val Kilmer stuff was even much more action oriented. That it was more enjoyable.
Fun. I think they were going for heavy gravitas and depth and, you know, coming to grips with being a hero. Yeah, which
Heath Ledger brought with a mighty force in that second movie and definitely put Batman on his heels. But without Heath Ledger, that movie's boring too. And then the third movie just is completely falls apart.
God, see this.
I cannot disagree with you more.
I feel like we should have a street fight to settle this. Like, I really, really do. Like, this is one of those that's just so wrong. I have boxing
gloves upstairs. Let me go grab them.
I think Nolan does much better work down the line. I think those three films were some of Nolan's worst ones in his repertoire.
I think if you would have said, if you would have used the language of like, I think Christopher Nolan has continued to improve over the years, I would have taken this less offensively than if you would have said that they weren't good or that they were his worst movies, as if he has bad movies.
Everybody can have a bad movie. I mean, look at Aronofsky.
Troy.
He's loaded with them.
Yeah, but it's true. I'm just not sure how I feel about this.
Oh, I know how I feel about it. The wrongness is great in this one. Like, this proves the point. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Troy is officially becoming the villain here.
That's right. Between this and Temple of Doom, I'm on a roll.
I just don't understand. Maybe you just don't have good taste. Maybe that's what it is. Oh,
I would say something about you. You hired me for the show.
I know. Look, you are very insightful and astute and intellectual. And obviously, you just hate Batman. That's what I'm getting. You hate Batman.
No, actually, I love Edward Batman. Edward Batman is great. I love the most recent one. I think that was a great.
I was trying to figure out like Edward Batman. Oh, yeah. Twilight. Got it.
I mean, it that felt like the Batman comics to me. That felt more like he's hiding in the shadows. And yes, he does walk very slow and the villains have nowhere to run.
He saunters
and
all that fun a lot. Stuff. That's what he does.
But I felt that was more the style that these movies should have been. And I go back and watch these now after watching that one. And I go, man, I really want more of that one, the current one, than I do these from the past.
Look, I don't think the third movie is as good as it could have been. There's a lot to be said about the direction that Nolan chose to go with that. Like, you've got a Batman movie. It's, you know, it's like Iron Man 3. You got a Batman movie without Batman in it, really, for most of the movie. God, the first two movies are so good. I would say Dark Knight is perfect as a film. Like, I can't even find anything wrong with it. And you say take out Heath Ledger. Like, how do you take out the Joker when the Joker's the main villain in the movie?
Even,
you can't really
take
him out of it.
Even if you did, Aaron. Even if you did.
Yeah, the Harvey Dent stuff, still good.
You know? Still good. Still good movie. Yeah. Still good trilogy.
He just says, I guess this might be the whole episode, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Like, we're just going to have to try to convince Troy he's wrong.
I need everybody to understand that the next Ho Cruise is going to involve a fight to the death.
Okay. See, here's the problem. You really need to understand how true crime works, because confessing to it is premeditation. Now you just got yourself like murder one. It could have been murder two or manslaughter or man's laughter, as it were. But nope.
Could have been a freak accident on the zip line coming across the boardwalk and fell on the merry-go-round. But now it was you that actually cut the zip line.
Mm-hmm. But now I have a perfect opportunity to take out Troy and blame you for it. So that works out great for me.
Cool. Thanks. What a pal.
All right. Well, an interesting one. Wow, that's a good way to hit it off. All right, Amanda. What about you? What do you got? Top that.
I can, and I will. This is the one that whenever I tell people, so we'll get Tom Cruise out of the way. All right. Tom Cruise is overrated as an actor. He's a stuntman. Da 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 da. Okay, whatever that's out there. Mm-hmm. We all know this if you've listened to any episode I've been on.
From 2020. Yeah.
Shut up.
Back when
but
she showed
the
up.
Most controversial opinion that I think that I have, and this is only the only reason I say that is because I get large gasps when I say this.
Okay.
Seinfeld sucks.
What?
I do not like Seinfeld. There is nothing about that show that is entertaining to me. Matter of fact, just last week, I'm going to tell you this story.
I feel like your head is bobbing right now, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Just last week, someone made a Seinfeld joke using one of the lines from the show. And I looked at them, and I was like, that isn't even funny. And they're like, have you never seen Seinfeld? And I was like, ha, this explains everything. Thank you very much. I am leaving. Even in conversation, it's not funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't. Yes, they're utter douchebags. Yes, they're completely horrible people. Yes, they're complete idiots in every respect of the guard. But because of that, that's why it's funny, because they just do stupid things and they talk about stupid things and it's about nothing. And because it's about nothing, you just escape for 22 minutes and go, I totally get you, Jerry. I totally get you, Kramer. I'm totally right there with you, George. I totally understand.
See, I don't feel like I get anybody.
As somebody who had to lick all of those wedding invitation envelopes, I totally understand the joke.
I get the bartender who has to drink extra to be around them. That's who I get.
All right, here's what I'll say. Look, I'm on the same bandwagon when it comes to Friends, because I don't like Friends. I don't find that funny. So, and everybody's like, well, Friends is great. No, it's not. It's a terrible show. It's horrible writing. And they're not real people. And do they have any friends of color? Like not a one, like nobody. Jesus. But the Seinfeld is really, it's more my language, I guess, because it's really sarcastic and they're just mean fuckers. Like they're not nice people. They're jackasses all the way. I think the last episode is actually great because it's totally their characters and people hate it. But also, yeah, man, so, I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I don't like. Parks and Rec, I don't like. So, I mean, we're just on different wavelengths when it comes to comedy sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like it because of the you know, you sit there in the booth with your friend and you're having the conversation. You're just having the conversation, you know? It's like, I love George. George is great. He just...
They have so many episodes that are just great and about everyday things that happen. Like the contest was such a great episode. I mean, just contest. A great episode.
Oh, I totally forgot about the contest because yes. I was thinking about another contest that happens on How I Met Your Mother.
No, this is a better contest by a mile.
It is a better contest.
Yeah.
We here at The Hoe are super stoked to release our episodes on Wednesdays, especially this Wednesday because we're all wearing pink. Because you can now bring home the all-new movie Mean Girls. Buy it on digital now. New student Katie Heron is welcomed into the top of the social food chain by a group of popular girls ruled by Queen Bee Regina George in the new twist on the modern classic Mean Girls. It's 2024 and we're finally making Fetch happen because you can fetch your copy of Mean Girls on digital today and get over 30 minutes of Fetch bonus features. Available at participating retailers. Rated PG-13 from Paramount Pictures.
Well, here we go. You ready? Ready for my first one? I'll keep it easy for the first one.
Okay.
All right. Everybody complains about remakes. I think remakes are good. I think they're a good thing. I don't think they're unartistic. I don't think they're uncreative. I think sometimes they can be when they're made that way. But if you take a movie that existed previously and you find a way to make it different or better, you always have the one that you had originally, so you didn't lose anything. So I have no problem with remakes. But
remake, not reboot.
I have a problem with none of them. I don't have a problem. Make it your own. As long as you make something that's worth watching, why do you hate it so much? I don't understand it. I don't understand the argument that people have for that. It's all you literally have to do is not watch it. It's not affecting your day. You still have whatever you loved before.
I don't know how controversial this is, to be honest with you, because I feel like a lot of people, they might have the initial impulse to say, be resistant and say, no, I don't want to watch this, or I don't want you to tarnish the reputation of something that's beloved to me. But like the numbers don't lie and the movie theaters be full. Okay. So to me, I almost wonder if maybe people are a little bit more okay with it than we think.
Okay. Then how about I'll segue to this? I'll tie it into an actual remake opinion. How's this?
Okay.
And Troy, you might want to sit out. The 2016 Ghostbusters is more fun, and I like it much more than 2021 Ghostbusters.
You're full of shit.
And it's more.
Wow. The house is cutting you.
Hang on. And it's more like the original film.
I'll give you the second part.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be a reboot, a remake. It should be like the first film.
I like it better.
I think it's more. It is more fun and jovial, and like more of a comedy, which I think is like, where
that's what
it's more like
was.
The original.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like overall enjoyment, I personally think I still like the 2021 more than the, what'd you say, 2018?
Yeah, the 2021 is supposed to be a bridge movie to what the future of the franchise is going to be.
That doesn't make it a good movie. That's not fair. It was
enjoyable. It was nostalgic. It had hit the moments that I wanted it to hit. Yeah, it was a little boring for the first 25 minutes.
The ending nerfed everything about that movie. I know everybody thinks that's what made the movie. No, that was the cop out because they couldn't make an entire movie that was about, and they had the stupidest plot. And Egon went basically idiotic and abandons his entire family and leaves his poor child and grandchildren to just waving in the wind instead of asking for help. That wasn't the Egon that we knew. It just wasn't. It's a ridiculous plot. It's dumb.
You didn't get to see the Egon we knew. You didn't get to see his plight and his struggle.
Oh, sure did. He was the glowy guy standing next to all the other old Ghostbusters sitting there because they had to bring them all back.
When they all come around and they say, let's make Egon the television show for the two or three seasons in order to explain that whole backstory, you know, then we'll understand the backstory better. You only got a small exposition of it.
This is definitely not making me care more about it. It's making me care less. This is ridiculous. That I liked 2016 Ghostbusters a lot. I had a lot of fun with it. I laughed a lot. It made me feel like the original Ghostbusters made me feel. I don't care if you didn't like that it was ladies. I just don't care. And I had a great time with it. It was fun. They were a fun foursome. It was a good movie, but it just doesn't blow my doors off.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I enjoyed the 2016 version, but the fact that it was better than 2021, yep. That's controversial.
Oh, man.
No way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No way. I'm telling you.
That is a good controversial take.
All right. Back to you,
it's
Troy.
It's got kids, man. What do you have a problem with kids?
That's the part I love. I hated that they had to bring back the old guard. Like they didn't need to be there. And then the whole thing with Egon, where they basically just screw his whole character up because that's the only way you can force this to work. It's just ridiculous. Egon is not the kind of character that would ever abandon his family. I just, man. And we're just going to forgive him because he showed up glowy and waving at the end.
And loving and caring.
Oh, yeah, he's very loving and caring when he abandoned his family to go die in a dirty old house.
He was saving the world, Aaron. I don't see you doing anything about it.
I think he could have called, I don't know, one of his friends and sucked down some pride for his family, but I guess not because he doesn't really love them. Jesus, selfish prick.
Whatever.
All right, what do you got?
The time for a movie theater where the movie starts. So when you post the time of the movie, The time should be when the movie starts, not when the trailers start. And fun fact, for those that don't know, trailers actually used to be aired at the end of the movie. That is why they're called trailers.
That's a long time ago.
Yes, but the fact that nobody stuck around after the end of the movie because nobody watches the credits is why the trailers never got seen, and that's why they got put in the front of the movie. But if the movie starts at 7, the movie starts at 7, not at 7:25.
See, I do like the advertised showtime being when they're going to start the previews and everything. However, my caveat would be, it would be super cool if they could let you know how long the trailers are going to be, especially because they used to be like a good 12 to 15 minutes. Now they're a good like 19 to 24, it feels like.
And I've seen most of them already on the YouTube.
Yeah,
so I want a consistent thing. Like, if you're going to do it, it's 20 minutes. You get a 20-minute block. That way I know I can be 20 minutes late every time. And I'd have some episodes either not have trailers or some episodes have a half an hour of trailers because the trailers were extended cuts. Like, I just want consistency. My time is valuable.
Here's one thing that there's a couple things that packed in here. Not all controversial because I don't think most people probably disagree with you. Amanda wants trailers because Manna's always late. So Manna wants to make sure she gets to see the movie. Mm-hmm. You start saying...
Caveat, hold on, pause. Oh. I'm usually, like, with 93% accuracy, am I on time for movies?
Pull that number out of your
ass. It might even
be
higher.
For the show time or the movie time?
Okay, so it used to be where I would show up like 15 minutes before the showtime started, like the advertised time, which is includes the trailers. And then I started going to so many movies that I was like, I'm already going to see the exact same trailers again. So I'll just like come in 5 to 7 minutes late to the trailer time. But I would still be there before the movie starts.
Okay. All right, well, here's...
I just want to throw that out
okay,
there.
Okay, fair point. I have a couple points on this, I guess. One, can we all agree, Nicole Kidman, time to go away?
Oh, please, dear God.
Yeah.
Why is that still happening? And also, why does it still
say,
an update
is needed.
Get a new freaking thing, whatever.
Marketing team?
Yeah. When it comes to trailers, I love trailers. I do. I do agree that they should say, okay, it's 20 minutes or whatever the number is before the movie. Like, let you know, you already give me the show time, you give me the length of time. Give me the time, how many trailers we have. Give me a really clear estimate. I think they say like 20 minutes. Give me a number, a real number. And what I really wish they would do is you get a cut of a trailer on YouTube, but it's shorter and you get the full length in the theater. Give some incentive and bonus to people that go to the theater and love trailers that want to see them on the big screen. Because I can't tell you how many times, in fact, every freaking time that a new trailer comes out that I want to see. Well, I'm somebody, I don't want to watch it on YouTube. I want to see it in a theater. That's just, it's me. I love movie theaters. It's how I'm wired. And people always send them to me. And I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. But I usually won't watch them until I see them in the theater. Now, think how much cooler it would be and how it would get people to go to the theater, because people love to do the thing that other people can't do. Like, that's just a thing we love nowadays. Like, we want to do the thing that other people can't do. Want to see the Taylor Swift concert. Ah, I'm going to pay $1,000 for tickets. You know, all that stuff. I think that would be great. I think that would be a great way to really make it so that watching the trailers in the theater actually is a little bit more of an experience too.
Or drop a really shitty, shitty movie, right? The weekend of the Super Bowl or the weekend after the Super Bowl, buy your $7 million commercial that says, hey, this weekend in this really shitty movie that we put out that we're just hoping to make some kind of money on, you can see the Deadpool 3 trailer in full red band version. And then everybody pays for the movie. That's also in your stack.
That's not
stack
a terrible idea.
You know, your house,
I
your
feel
house
like
properties.
If you know your movie's shitty, you probably don't want to spend $7 million on a Super Bowl ad.
No, but what his point is that you can make the ticket sales by telling people at the Super Bowl, if you want to watch this trailer for Deadpool 3, which you know will get you money and interest, you can go see this movie, and that's the only place that you can see the trailer until people pirate it and put it online.
Stop. Who would do such a thing?
Everybody on the internet.
It's just negative, Amanda. Just negative. All right. Good conversation. But yes, Nicole Kidman for sure needs to go.
Needs to go.
Amanda.
So people, okay, individuals.
Sure, people.
Celebrities.
Peoples are peoples.
Yeah, people.
Yep. They can get more than one chance, okay? So like if they do something we don't like, depending on what they do, yada, 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 all those caveats. But they could redeem themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can, based on our barometer, right? They may be able to come back into our lives or our movies, TVs, etc.
Okay.
However,
where is this going?
Well, let me finish. Companies do not get more than one chance, i.e. MoviePass. So if you screw us, if you have poor ethics or poor decision making, even if you rectify all of the things that you did wrong, you don't get another chance with me. You are done. You are deceased. You get the unsubscribe button from the emails.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So I'm saying, you know, while, for example, somebody may do something really shitty in the spotlight, we might consider giving them another chance to come back into our view. But the companies, we don't give double chances to. No, I don't give double chances to.
So the controversial point is,
about us not giving chances, giving chances.
You think Roman Polanski deserves a second chance?
Okay, don't put those words in my mouth, because very wrong.
I'm trying to understand the controversy, because that's very controversial.
That is not the level of controversy that I meant.
So Roman gets another shot, but HBO Max is a problem. I think if you've been burned, you should be smart with your dollars. Yes. Vote with your wallet. Always vote with your wallet.
Yep.
Always vote, period.
Well, yeah, that's true. Oh, man. Jon Stewart's back, by the way. If we haven't talked
Monday
about
that. Monday nights are never going to be the same again.
Through the whole election cycle. God
bless. It was great. It was like Monday Night Football disappeared and Jon Stewart rose from the ashes.
He sure did. It's so much better than football. All right. So mine, I want to have a conversation. I keep wanting to have this and everybody's afraid of having it. So now I'm forcing you. So just, you know, woke is a term that comes from African-American vernacular English, meaning alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. It started in the 2010s. It came to basically mean a broader awareness of social inequality, such as racial justice, sexism, and a denial of LGBTQ rights. Now, suddenly, it's become this negative thing, right? Because I don't care what the party affiliations, there's a lot of people that shout out, this is woke, and that is woke, and that isn't woke, and blah, 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 blah. So, I kind of want to know, like, when is it woke? I mean, it's not woke just because it has a black person with bisexual tendencies or because there's only one white guy in the cast, right? So, nor is it woke if a film is, like, remade with a person of color instead of the original white lead because you still have that original thing. I already talked about it, so it's a new thing. When is something woke? Like, I just don't understand, like, why this is a thing. Like, sometimes I see movies where they say, oh, it's woke, I'm not going to go. That's why it failed. Well, Barbie, by this standard, was woke as hell and was the biggest movie of the entire year. So when is something woke, and why are we still saying this in 2024 at all?
I mean, it's clearly woke when someone says that it's woke, because whenever someone who is clearly more intelligent than the people that made the film say something, it has to be true.
I mean, I just feel like...
Catch my sarcasm.
Yes, oh yeah. That's the snark is real.
Yeah.
I just don't quite understand the logic here. Like, okay, if it's an all-white cast, that's not woke. But if it has a black guy in it or a gay guy in it, then it's woke. Like, that makes it... I don't understand. We took a character and made him gay.
It doesn't make it woke. It's that they're shoving their wokeness on me. That's the problem.
But you don't have to see it.
Right?
So, like, why are you bitching about it?
Here's what I think. I think whenever it is more obvious that people are making a concerted effort to correct the things that should have been addressed a very long time ago, it can be perceived as being shoved down someone's throat or like the new quote unquote liberal thing.
Sure.
And I think wokeness is now just associated from a political standpoint. And I don't want to get into the politics of any of it, obviously.
I'm not trying to get into politics, for sure.
But that's the problem, because you're saying that a word that basically speaks to, you know, gay, lesbian, black culture, you're assuming those people are liberal by assigning woke to a liberal agenda. Like, those people could be just as Republican as anybody else. You don't know.
It's just a matter of, and it's the same, like, reaction that I feel people have to the phrase diversity, equity, and inclusion. Like, it doesn't matter what level of effort and like the value and importance that's behind it. People don't recognize that. They just see this as change. And so change from the norms equals woke.
You mean change from the white norms?
From the white norms, yeah.
The privileged,
I mean, that's pretty
norms.
Much what we're referencing here, is that all of Hollywood was white and very white and very exclusive.
Well, all of the leads, all the leads and major performers. I mean, there were still plenty of people of color. They just were playing butlers and maids, and you know,
or it was all about the tragedy of those individuals,
right?
The tragedy of gay people, like all of that. Nothing about, let's just make a movie that happens to include people that are not white and straight. And so, quote unquote, wokeness is really just a reflection of change from what individuals who have an issue with the term woke, in my opinion. It's just, oh, this is different. And I don't like different. I don't like that you're trying to make things different because from their viewpoint, what was wrong with things before? And that's where it's just a difference of, I don't know, exposure, of education, of understanding the significance behind trying to make improvements and change. And for me, I think if someone references something as being woke, all that signifies to me is A, you don't feel comfortable with change, and B, great, this is going to be something more inclusive.
I think if someone says that this is so woke, that means they're actually understanding the concept of wake your ass up. It is time to see the light.
Well, they're saying it as a negative, unfortunately. It started as a positive, and it's morphed its way into a negative. And there's really no balance, though. That's the thing that drives me nuts, because you can't say go woke, because that's the saying, go woke, go broke. Well, that's ridiculous, because there's so many things you say are going woke that are doing great. So it doesn't only work when one thing bombs, but one thing is a massive hit. Like, that's just not how it works. That's not true. Like, it's factually completely inaccurate to even make that statement, but there's so many people, I see it all the time.
That's because one person put it on a hashtag and it became popular.
Oh my God.
It rhymes.
Get it. Just try to enjoy things. If you don't want to see it, don't see it. But I wish we would get past things like this.
Totally.
Okay. Well, I think Mandy did a very good job of explaining it. Good job. Troy.
Is that me again? Mm-hmm. Okay. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear what I'm about to say in the next 15 seconds, skip ahead 15 seconds or so. But I think that the Big Bang Theory should have ended in season 10 with the Sheldon and Amy wedding.
But you would give them all the way till season 10?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's the controversial part, because they should have ended like season 5.
No, I think season 10 was the place to end it, and carrying it on for the extra 2 is what damaged the show.
I like that show, man, but I teetered off. Like, it got really juvenile, I think is the word I want to use, probably. Like, the humor was fun and smart for the first like 5 seasons. And then it just started to be in all sex jokes and body humor stuff. And it just wasn't funny anymore to me.
Because they were all coupling up and stuff at that time.
Yeah. Everybody in the show, it was like a Friends thing. Everybody in the show started dating. Not a fan.
Yeah. But I feel like the season 11, where they finally had to get Raj married because Raj didn't talk initially. And then the whole season 12 with the award. And it just was like, yeah, it's cool to like finish those storylines off, but really, like, Sheldon was the show. And the fact that if you go back and actually see that they made a show called Young Sheldon, and then following Young Sheldon up until his dad's death, where they wrote themselves into a corner on that show, mm-hmm. Sheldon was the show. It wasn't, his roommate Leonard and Penny. It was really about Sheldon. So when Sheldon finally got what he wanted, which was this, girlfriend married situation, that's where it should have ended.
That makes sense. I don't think it's that controversial. I agree.
There's people that definitely agree that it should have ended in 11. I disagree.
All right. Mando, what say you? What do you got?
All right. So this is not going to be popular with either of you, and that's all right with me. I believe... Well, I should just say I'm a fan of lengthy seasons of television, like 22 episode seasons.
No, no, just stop.
Die.
He almost
die
left
in
the
a
podcast.
Horrible fire.
Now, I'm not saying shows like the last season of The Blacklist, for example, no offense, or like the last 13 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. None of those have been great. But
Grey's isn't also 22 episodes anymore.
It's not. But I do feel personally like what I enjoy about television shows is when I can have the emotional investment in the person and their lives. And I get more of that when there's more episodes. It's more enjoyable for me. And I understand, yes, it can become monotonous and there's not as much built in, but sometimes, like, I'll be honest, the first like 8 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, that's perfect for me. I'm like, yeah, let me see their day-to-day life, let me live vicariously through their shit so I can feel better about my shit.
I think, honestly, what this is you wanting the world to know you don't want to leave your couch. Like, if they could put, like, a toilet in your couch, you'd be good with that. Well, you know what? In a very, obviously.
Look, we're going to put this very simply.
Hygienic way.
You can get 3 seasons of 22 episodes each season, or you can get 8 years of glorious 8-episode television where they can put all the budget against that they could possibly do.
So then I have to be patient and wait 1.5 years for every season? Absolutely not. I could get 22 episodes and it's going to last me for 6 months. And then I get more 22 episodes.
So you want SpaghettiOs instead of steak is what I'm hearing.
You're going to get 22 episodes. You're going to wait for it to drop on Netflix and you're going to binge it in 3 days and be done. Or you're going to wait for the 8 episodes to drop and binge it in 1 day and be done. It's the same weekend and you didn't lose anything.
See, I am the person who I'll obviously pace out those episodes.
Explains why you're not watching any of the new shit. I'll tell you that.
Because I'm watching the old shit.
Yeah.
Look, The Walking Dead, I think, is the perfect model. 2 half seasons, 8 episodes each, I thought was great. It was enough to get me interested in the characters and the storyline, to build up the tension, to then have a resolution and a cliffhanger to come into the back half of the season for another 8 episodes. I think 16, if you want to put them in the same year, or even 8 episodes on streaming season to season on a streaming show because you want to put more budget towards it, the 8 to 10 mark is definitely the right spot.
Not for me. Now, some shows very much are like, I'm good with 8 to 10 episodes. I also don't feel like the number of episodes should be blanketed for TV shows. Like, it very much needs to be case by case. But for like dramas, give me all of the episodes. Give me all of them.
I think you should go outside more.
You've seen those stories 100 times on 10 different shows of the same kind of name.
I know. And I watch them all.
It's like watching General Hospital, which is still on the air.
But here's my thing is, I mean, oh, God damn, if it's a show that ends every episode where you have characters you really love and they solve a mystery each episode, they go through hijinks each episode, whatever it is, if it's their self-contained episodes, then I can live with that argument. But if you're talking like something serialized, mm-hmm. the way that most television is done today, no, just go jump off that proverbial cliff with that shit. I want nothing to do with that. No, I will never watch a 22 episode series again that has any serialized component.
The best formula, in my opinion, for these lengthy seasons are ones that have individual stories where they can close something up each episode, or something happens in each episode. So either a situation or a character development or something like that. And then also an overarching story.
Nope.
Veronica Mars is a perfect example.
Every one of those that you're going to want to name, ended on a thud. Every one of them ended on a thud to some degree.
It's because they went on too long.
Yes, that's what happens when you have too many episodes.
No, that's what happens when you have too many seasons. Seasons.
Too many seasons because you have too many episodes. If you would have taken season 1 of Veronica Mars and made that 10 episodes instead of 22, that show would still be on the air today because you'd have so much story to go. Not.
No.
The UW or HB or whatever the freaking letters were aren't around anymore. WB. WB. That's what it was. Or was it the Paramount Network? I don't remember.
It was WB and also CW.
And then the UPN was in there.
UPN. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
All of the acronyms, all right?
Yeah, I couldn't remember the letters, but whatever.
Look, season 4 was 8 episodes of Veronica Mars, and it was perfect. It was a great...
Don't get Amanda started there, or you're trying to get Amanda started there. I don't know which one that was, but it didn't end perfect. Right?
Well, because there was supposed to be another season.
Man, I had 22 episodes of TV. I just had no interest in it anymore.
I know. But you don't even Blacklist have an interest serialized. In 12 episodes.
Blacklist actually did an entire season in season 8 that was completely serialized, the entire season.
But that was like building up to something. It was like leading somewhere. And
but even in that season, we said there were episodes that we could have taken out.
Absolutely. There always are. It's just fluff. But, you know, a lot of the Blacklist was the self-contained and same kind of thing. X-Files did the same thing. You know, all these shows had the same component where, okay, we will have a self-contained episode, but we have serialized elements that continue. None of them end well. Like they never end well because showrunners move on. They don't want to really be on a show that ends up being there for multiple years. And it's just, it either ends too quickly or it goes on too long. It just very rarely does it get that perfect moment, you know, that perfect time frame that works. 24 is probably a rare example, but that was really serialized television built to be serialized.
And it ended on a cliffhanger. We'll never know the answer.
Not really. I mean, I like the way it ended. I mean, I would love Jack to come back, but I like the way it ended on Live Another Day. He's still in the ether.
Oh, for our love episode last week, how do we not say Jack and Chloe?
Because I don't know if I'd consider that love.
The work relationship side.
Okay, so my next one, I'm going to segue off what Amanda said for my next one, okay? So I'm building off of kind of a component to what you were
talking
about.
Are you going to be like, 22 episodes are the worst. We need to have 10 or less. Is that what your thing is?
No, make this conversation a lot easier.
Just the opposite.
No, but this is actually
movies need to be under 3 hours.
This is something that I think is true. So in terms of movies, not TV shows, movies, I think streaming is the worst thing to happen to films in history. I think it's ruined cult cinema. You don't have cult cinema anymore because things really don't. They're not there long enough to really build that appetite for friends to share with other friends to grow into this monster success, even though, I mean, it happens on a rare occasion, but not like it used to. It's morphed every studio into a content machine. It's all about content. It's strangled creativity, removed any real gauge on if a film is connecting with its audience because it's gone 2 weeks after it comes out, no matter when or how popular it is. It's suffocated our patience to truly engage with a story or its characters, and it has torpedoed physical media and the very concept of ownership because you don't own anything on streaming. Streaming is 100% corporations putting us on a leash the same way smartphone providers did. So I think streaming is the worst thing to happen to movies in history. What say you?
I don't think it's the worst thing that happened because there are movies that I would never see in the theater because I just don't want to take the chance on them. But because I have an unlimited smorgasbord and I'm bored for a couple hours, I could throw something on that take a flyer on and not feel like I'm out any money. So I think more things are getting watched because of streaming being a great example. American Fiction, right? Very limited amount of movie times availability, typically only on the weekend. And only in like one or two theaters and not at very convenient times, but I could purchase it on the Apple store. So instead of going and giving the movie theater $20 for the ticket, I just gave Apple the $20 and now I pseudo own it for as long as Apple keeps it on its services, but I could watch it again and again and again and again. So I don't think that giving me content in my home is really a bad thing because I could actually say, hey, I just got this thing and I just watched, you know, come on over, let's watch it together. And I can still have that camaraderie experience with my friends. I may not have the same waiting in line experience at a movie theater that I would have had, but I don't think streaming is the worst thing that's happened to movies.
I want to point out, it's not about the movie theater.
David at Warner Brothers Discovery is the worst thing that's happened to movies.
Well, he's definitely, let's be clear. I'm specifically talking about the way films are both absorbed and ingested and made. I just don't think movies like Evil Dead, right? One of my favorite horror movies of all time, wouldn't exist in today's environment the way it does because of its culthood, because of the way that it was ingested, the way it was passed around from friend to friend. You watch people's, it just doesn't happen anymore. There's too much content. People are always moving on to the next thing. I think streaming has been awful for movies in terms of,
but you pass it around because you had to have the VHS tape to pass around.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you don't do that anymore, even because there's so much content. Even if you tell somebody to watch it, they never have time to watch it. How many times do we recommend things and people are like, I'll get to it. It's on the list. It's not on the list. They never even wrote it down.
There isn't a list.
There is no list anymore.
Aaron doesn't have a list. It doesn't exist.
It's true.
If you don't have a list, then you're just a horrible person.
There's too much content.
Here's what I take away from what you're saying, Aaron, and this is what I would agree with.
The list is right here. And yes, I'll never get to it, but at least I have the list.
You have like 12 things on there. Stop. You didn't flex just
now. I've been catching up. But if you tell me to watch something and say, hey, this is really good, I'm gonna write it down.
Well, I'm glad you write it down, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't do anything with it, John Davenport.
I still haven't seen Mrs. Davis on Peacock, and that makes me sad.
You should be sad, because I think you'd really like it. But what I was going to say is, what I feel Aaron is trying to convey is that the love and appreciation for movies is not the same, and it's due to streaming.
Absolutely.
There used to be an adoration, and they're also, I mean, you take the water cooler conversations aside and you just think about connection with friends about movies, you had more capability to connect over those things, to reflect on them, to talk about them, to basically do through friendships and conversations what critics do on paper. Right? To actually like sit on the movie and say, hey, man, I think you would really like this. Or, hey, this was awful. Don't ever watch it. I want you to watch it because it's so bad. Right? Mm-hmm. Like those things don't exist now, and it's not possible for them to exist in that way. And that's sad for movie lovers. Movie lovers don't get to have the same relationship and connection over movies that we used to do. And it is because of streaming. Now, I think the other side of it that really isn't being considered or you know, I don't want to take away from what your point is, Aaron, but I'm just saying there's the flip side of it, right? Like the optimism of this is that we've gotten more access to independent films than we've ever had an opportunity before. People who want to make movies now have a better visible platform to be able to getting them out, which is really cool for independent filmmakers. The flip side of it is that, again, to your point, we don't have the time, capacity, or interest to be able to consume all of those things because now there is too much and we don't get to talk about it. We, as a group here, try to, but even us, I mean, we're basically mandated by Aaron Peterson and The Hollywood Outsider to watch new shit, and we can't even all get on the same page to watch the same things because there's too many things coming out at the same time that take our attention, or too many things that came out from like 5 years ago that were like, man, I've really been wanting to watch this. It's on my list, and now all of a sudden it's on Netflix. So that's going to take precedent because of the accessibility over seeing whatever's in the movie theater. Oh, I'll catch that when it comes out later. Like, we don't have the same drive to connect with one another over things, over content.
Absolutely. It's basically these days, it's like, I don't know, movies are like, people treat movies like fuckboys treat dating, right? They're just on to the next thing. there's no real depth.
That's
there.
A good analogy.
There's no conversation. It's very, very just surface level. And if you try, you know, you try to dive into something, well, what do you think about this, man? Let's talk about it. You don't have time because there's something else to watch. We're on to the next thing. And it's just,
maybe you're onto the next thing because you're not letting yourself have the time to sit and sit with it, because I'm going out.
Oh, you are too. You are too. You'll talk about something when it happens, then you're on to the next thing. You move on to other stuff quite a bit too.
Yeah, but I'm still talking. From season two ended on MGM Plus, and I'm still in the Reddit group talking to people in the From forum, you know, like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think they're going to do in season three? What do you think about The Lighthouse? And all this other stuff. Like, there's communities out there to
TV.
Talk about this stuff.
I'm talking about movies. I specifically said that at the beginning.
You could do it with movies too.
But it's not happening. That's my point. It doesn't happen with movies anymore. It does happen with TV shows, but it doesn't happen with movies anymore.
You need to spend more time on Reddit then.
No, I don't. I'm fine. But I'm just saying it doesn't happen nearly to the level it used to. It really, really doesn't. People do it with TV still, but it just doesn't happen with movies because TV shows, there's still some component to, you have to binge them. There's a lot more to watch. It takes longer to do. A lot of the streaming channels have moved to the week-to-week model again. And movies are just different still. They're completely in a different class. It's, you know, I'm not saying it's ruined movies, but it's been the worst thing for movies. That's just my take. Now, we've got a few minutes left. Let's take some listener thoughts on controversial topics. So each of us can take one. Troy, why don't you start? Pick a very controversial topic from our listener thoughts that posted our Facebook group.
I feel like I should combine Adam Smith, Andreas, and Ty all together.
Okay.
Since they're all Star Trek related.
Leave some for the rest of us? Question mark.
Well, Adam says Revenge of the Sith.
And they're not Star Trek related. They're Star Wars related. They're
Star Wars related.
My God, I can't believe you made that mistake. And you want to take the charge on
honestly
those?
Honestly, embarrassing for you.
A little
bit. I'm sorry, this podcast.
I was doing a Star Trek podcast yesterday, okay?
Maybe you're just not watching movies anymore. You're just watching TV. Is that what I'm getting?
Well, Adam says Revenge of the Sith is the best Star Wars movie. Andrea says Empire Strikes Back is the weakest of the original trilogy. And Ty Nelson says The Last Jedi is great. So
let's take it one at a time.
Let's start with Empire Strikes Back. I disagree that Empire Strikes Back is the weakest of the original trilogy. It is the best of the original trilogy.
I'm with Andreas.
You shut your pie hole.
I am too.
Yeah, it's not my favorite film. Yeah. Out of those three, we're talking just the original trilogy, right?
Just the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Empire ends in a cliffhanger. Don't get me wrong. It's a great movie. Return of the Jedi is the payoff for the whole trilogy. That one works. I don't care what anybody says. I love the Ewoks. I do. Love Jabba the Hutt. The whole ending with his dad and getting some redemption there works great. And the first one I've seen, Star Wars, the original, or I'm sorry, A New Hope, Part 4, so many, more times than any of the other two, by far. I love both of those movies more than Empire.
So do you love those movies better than Revenge of the Sith?
Well, hang on. You didn't take, so you think Empire is the best of the trilogy. You're on that mindset.
I do.
Which a lot of people do. Okay. Well, Andreas, Amanda, and I are with you. Okay, what's the next one? Adam Smith, The Revenge of the Sith is the best Star Wars movie? No, absolutely not. I had to remember which one it was.
I like it, but it's not better than all of the others.
No, that's controversial for sure.
That is controversial. That is a good submission. We'll say that.
Great submission. Bad idea. What's the usual?
I think Revenge of the Sith is actually a really great Star Wars movie. The problem with Revenge of the Sith is that it's got really bad CGI. Especially if you watch it on a high 4K display today.
It does.
Instead of them actually flowing down the lava river, you can see them standing still and the lava goes past them. So I think the problem there is that it needs some effects redone. And I think it would actually be pretty cool because you get General Grievous, you get Order 66, you get the whole plan coming to fruition. You get Anakin going dark. You get the battle between Anakin and Obi-Wan. I mean, there's a lot of good in that movie, for sure.
You know what I think? I think Episode 1 and Episode 2 are so bad, they make Episode 3 look great. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, Episode 2, is it Attack of the Clones, has the worst romance in film history. Absolutely.
Well, it's because romances are forbidden in the Jedi Order. That's why it's so bad.
Maybe. He's just like, I don't remember which one is the one where he kills all the kids. Is that Revenge of the Sith?
That's where he kills the kids.
The Jedi
Order 66,
kids?
Yes.
Yeah. That was terrible. Absolutely terrible. He goes from, I'm so mad, to I'm going to go kill all these kids. It's just, I'm sorry. The character growth is dumb. So no, I can't put that at the top. Can't. Not awful though. Okay, what's the last one? Ty Nelson on The Last Jedi?
Well, then switching to Ty, and The Last Jedi is great. Not the greatest. The Last Jedi is great.
Well, he elaborates. You want to finish the elaboration?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I want to get your opinion before I gave Ty's.
No, just finish him out.
Ty's reasoning.
So we can speak to it.
All right. Well, Ty said, as a movie, it has issues, but as a Star Wars story, it took chances. It tried to spin the story off in a bold and exciting way. The opening space battle is beautifully shot. The lightsaber battle in Snoke's chamber is a great mix of storytelling and action. And Luke's last stand is not just iconic, but one of the best scenes in the entire franchise. I don't agree with the next statement, but he says it's a shame that they retconned everything in Episode 9. I don't really think they did, but that's controversial too.
Yeah, well, I will say the lightsaber battle in Snoke's chamber is probably the best fight battle in the entire I think it's better than episode
it's
one.
It's a great scene. Yeah, it's for sure.
Pretty fantastic. Beautifully shot. I don't think it's great. I think it's a good movie. There's some stuff that I think is really ridiculous. Finn's little casino section is kind of terrible. The fact that Laura Dern and her elk are in this space battle for what it seems like 6 years. And the ships are like right next to each other. Like, why is this taking so long? I just think there's some good ideas. And I love the idea about anyone can be a Jedi. I thought that was a great, it doesn't have to be a Skywalker. I like that. And then I don't think they retconned it in episode 9. They just, you know, made a tie into Palpatine instead of a Skywalker. There's really not much difference there. And the thing still, it still exists that anybody can be a Jedi. So, I mean, you've seen kids be Jedi. You've seen a lot of people throughout all these movies be Jedi. So I don't think that really trashes that idea, but I do think they didn't follow through on the promise of that moment. So I wouldn't call it retcon, but they didn't follow through on the promise of the moment.
I agree with Ty. I think Last Jedi is awesome.
I like it. I have a good time with it.
I sat with 10 of my closest friends all over the age of 40. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house at the end of that movie with Luke just sitting there with the two sons. Like, Luke's arc is epic in that film. Say what you say about him being the hermit and the things that he was dealing with and whatever else in the beginning of the movie. But by the end of that movie, like, Luke has redeemed himself and the cool ass way he did it with the projection. Oh, so good.
That's the part I'll push back hard on. Like, that wasn't Luke Skywalker, man. Like, it's a different character. It wasn't the same character. And it's not because he got older and all that. The whole idea that he basically went in to murder his nephew, it didn't work. Now, could it have worked? Absolutely. I think it needed to be fleshed out more, but it just doesn't work. It's a good idea that doesn't work. But I do like the battle at the end, like Luke's moment at the end. I love that part. I'm just saying the whole thing where he tries to kill his nephew, that's bullshit nonsense. I get why fans got pissed about it. Even Mark Hamill got pissed about it.
You know what we should all be pissed off about? Sorry, Daniel Bellum. He says, Denzel Washington is overrated.
Ooh,
this is blasphemy.
Those are fighting words.
Those are fighting words, hypothetically speaking.
Hang on. I'm trying to see if I
can... Got nothing on me.
Of any time.
Didn't enjoy Denzel.
No. I'm trying to think of any time I can think of that Daniel Bellum won an Oscar for a performance where really he won the Oscar because of a single teardrop like he did in Glory. One of the best sequences of film in history. One of the best moments of film in history. And you think he's overrated? Please. Come on, son. That's all I'm saying.
Remember the Titans.
It's easy to say somebody's overrated when you're not doing that job. That job is pretty damn impressive, and Denzel Washington's one of the best ever to do it. Nope. No chance he's overrated. One of the greatest. So, yeah, it's controversial.
Mm-hmm. Very. Mm-hmm. Very.
His son we could talk about, but.
What's that?
I said his son we could talk about, but.
Oh, his son's overrated. Oh, overweight. Sorry. Not overweight. Overrated. John David Washington is definitely not...
not overweight.
No, he's not overweight. Great shape. He is not as good an actor as his dad. I mean, he's just not. He tries. I don't think he's a bad actor. I just don't think he's great. But Denzel Washington, that's controversial. Wow. Equal parts controversial and wrong.
He is quite literally my number two favorite actor. So it's real tough to be like, he's overrated.
Who's number one?
Tom Hanks.
Fair point. So Philadelphia, your favorite movie of all time then?
No.
Pretty much.
That's funny.
All right. Well, my last one is Deb Salamone Thomas. This is my husband's response. John Wick movies are predictable and boring, and I question why I married him after he said this to me. Me too.
Divorce is all I can say.
Boring? Predictable, maybe. Boring? How do you get bored?
For who? Boring for whom?
Yeah.
Deb, I think you should push that man down a flight of stairs.
That's a guy who doesn't love dogs. That's what I'm hearing. Hates dogs. Get rid of him. Hates animals. Dogs. Hates them. This is not a man you can trust. Dangerous man. Okay. That's it. How do you guys feel? Do you feel like you got that controversy out of your systems for a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious how, like, which one of the ones that we brought up is going to be the most controversial to listeners.
Mm. Take a vote.
Clearly the Dark Knight trilogy.
No, that's the wrongest of all of them. That's not even controversial. Like, as soon as you said it aloud, everybody just said, no. We ain't got your back, Troy. There's going to be one guy on X or Threads. Or some shit like, hey, this guy's speaking my language. And it's going to be Troy with a fake name.
Ken from Chicago. I know you're out there. Back me up, buddy.
I do feel like Troy's is the most controversial, though. Like, in the scheme of who would actually agree with him, very controversial.
That's... Man, I mean, if you would a Matrix trilogy and okay, I could get into that. But man, that's just the Dark Knight trilogy. Have you always felt this way?
I never liked. I like the Dark Knight because of Heath Ledger, and I thought he was an excellent Joker. And it was a shame that we lost him. But I did not dig the first movie, and the third movie's just got some real bad plot holes.
But you're okay with Interstellar's plot holes?
The whole thing is a giant plot hole because it's a black hole they're going into.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, that's okay. Jesus.
I'd have to, you have to share your plot holes with me at some point because I don't think we've ever talked about it.
I'd have to go watch it again, and I'm not gonna. I don't remember. I remember there was a thing in the third act that I thought was ridiculous.
I'm gonna shit on Interstellar, and then I'm not gonna go ahead and go back to it and go.
Look, yep. There are some 3 hours where when you watch them, you have an opinion and it sticks in your mind, but you can't always remember. You see, because there's too many movies, it's hard to remember what my fucking point was. But I had one when I watched it. It's a great point at the time.
The plot hole was the missing book on the bookcase. Is that what it is?
Yeah, so you could that might have been it.
And see his kid.
I don't know. There's something about that does not work. I'm sure somebody listening understands. Ah, Jesus. Also, Oppenheimer is not his best movie. The Dark Knight is. Bam. How about that? Right, Amanda?
No, I'm actually going to still disagree with you.
What?
I love The Dark Knight, but in terms of like the best movie, I think I'll probably... That's the most rewatchable movie, most enjoyable movie. But when I think about like his best, I'm probably going Inception.
Oh, there's
like the visual components, the production, there's the casting, and then of course you have like the deep layers of the story that created decades worth of content controversy alone about the ending and what it implied.
Or if you're Sean Connery, controversy.
Or that.
For that final kick as the van is just floating in the air as it's slowly falling into the water.
People are still talking about the top, so spinning or not spinning.
To this day.
That's what I mean.
I really dug Memento, to be honest. I thought Memento was a really well done movie.
Oh, I love Memento. That's a good one, too.
Fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't have bad movies, Troy.
I said these are the worst of his films. I didn't say they were bad films. I said they were the worst of his films.
Well, I'm pretty sure you
implied
said,
they weren't good.
He spent nine minutes saying that. They suck.
I don't like them.
I will tell you this. Here's something controversial for you. Quentin Tarantino is a better director and writer, obviously, than Christopher Nolan. That's a fact as far as I'm concerned.
How about he's definitely better than Martin Scorsese.
Oh, God. Yeah. Martin Scorsese. You has been. You don't know what cinema is. I think that's good. We should probably leave on that note because that's probably
hashtag Marsco
fired. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, the next time you head to the theater or stream comfortably on your couch, destroying cinema forever, buy popcorn.